Amen. I trust that's the way you feel about it tonight, that you really mean that, that you'd rather have Jesus than anything. It's an easy thing to say, isn't it? But it's another thing when he does start taking the dearest things to us. But I'm glad that we can have it settled in our heart that we will do whatever he wants. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of God's word, a moment of prayer. Our scripture tonight is found once again in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7, beginning with verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for the day that you have blessed us with. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung throughout this day. We thank you, Lord, for the sermons that we've heard to this point. And now, Lord, we ask that you would help each of us. Lord, we ask that you would hide thy unworthy servant once again behind the cross, that you may be high and lifted up. That, Lord, you would give us the thoughts, the words that we need in this day. And in your name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Those of you that were here on Thursday evening realize that we spoke from this chapter, but a few verses up. We looked at the straight and narrow way and the broad way. And those that had taken the straight and the narrow way, and what a group of wonderful people that they were, what a group of happy people that they are tonight. As they are rejoicing around the throne of Almighty God, what a wonderful example many of them showed to you and I. But then we also looked at some of those that took the broad way, took seemingly the easy way, took the way of seemingly less resistance, and ended up in a place that this very night they are suffering beyond any suffering that an individual has ever had in this world. But tonight, as we slip on down, we find that Jesus dealt with some false prophets between those particular verses and the ones that we have tonight. And he's telling us in the verses that we read to you that it is very, very important how we build our house. And it is very important. Those of you that have been into any kind of construction realize that the foundation of a house is very, very vital to that house. Depending on what we build upon is what Jesus is telling us. I've worked with some contractors in times past, and there is something about it. The one that lays the foundation, pours out foundation, lays the block thereon, if they don't do it right, you will fight their wrongdoing all the way to the peak. It'll be constant battle back and forth, trying to compensate for because they didn't do it square, level, the whole nine yards. It just makes it tough. But if the foundation is laid right and the foundation is done properly, it makes a whole lot easier building and everyone that comes behind in the building process. And tonight, he is also not only telling us that we need to build upon. Why do we need to build in such a good way? The reason that we need to build upon the good foundation is because there are storms that are coming. You know, we all face storms, folks. It's just part of life. We're all going to face them. We have faced them in the physical realm, have we not? There are those things that we have faced, but we also will face them in the spiritual realm. The devil doesn't like it when we serve God, and so he will do everything in his power. He will send every storm that he possibly can to try and destroy us. But I'm glad that if we are founded upon the rock Christ Jesus, we build properly, we can, with God's grace and help, withstand the storms. Tonight I'd like to talk to you for just a few moments along the line of the storms of life, the things that come our direction. When I lived in North Carolina, some of you might remember, I talked about the storm that we got caught in out in a boat. We got caught out in Pamlico Sound in three boats. Mine was a 19.5-foot cuddy cabin. The storms, the winds began to build, and they got up around 65 mile an hour. Now, if you've never been on Pamlico Sound and in a boat at 65 mile an hour winds, you ought to try it one time, and then you understand what I'm talking about. But there are storms in different parts of the country. They get different kinds of storms. But tonight I would like to look at the storms that hit the eastern seaboard and then other parts of the world. But living there at Harker's Island, I'll never forget as the hurricanes would come through. As we would get ready for the hurricanes. The first thing that I noticed in that is about the hurricanes, and that is you had the tracking charts. You lived in that part of the country, the hurricanes would start usually over by South Africa. They would come all of the way across the Atlantic Ocean and make their way across that vast body of water. The further they made it, usually the greater they built, and the warmer the water that they hit. And when they would hit the Gulf Stream, they would even build bigger. But they would have tracking charts, and you could get those tracking charts, and you could get those, and you would listen to the radio and the weather stations, and they would tell you when that depression started over by South Africa, and when that depression and disturbance then turned into a tropical storm, and then build until where it was a hurricane category 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, whatever it might be, as it's building coming across that Atlantic Ocean. But those guys would keep track of that and tell you exactly where it was. They would tell you what it had built to. They would tell you the sustained winds. And the sustained winds would mean a wind that was 2 minutes or longer before it would fall. And then your gust on top of that. And so they would fly their airplanes into the eye of that storm and take all of the pressures and so on and so forth and keep you up to date exactly where that storm was. And you know, I am grateful for that. For that helped a lot when those storms were heading towards the eastern seaboard. But I am glad that tonight that there is one that is greater than all of the weathermen, and that is the blessed Holy Spirit. There's a lot of storms out there, and there's some storms that may hit us as individuals. There's storms that no doubt are hitting our nation. There's things that are transpiring that we all know about, the Supreme Court ruling. We could go on and on and on, all of the things that are transpiring. But I am glad that there is one that is more accurate than the weatherman. The weathermen, they did a good job, and I'm not here knocking them, but they're men. And there was times that as they would go through this, they would tell you, and they would try and predict where that category 2 or 4 or 5 hurricane was going to hit. But you know, many times they were way off. Never forget one of the hurricanes that we had fled, they had said it was going to make landfall in Florida. So Florida evacuated. They made their way north, and it didn't hit to Florida. And it came right up at that eastern seaboard, one state after another. And finally, it's going to make landfall in South Carolina. Well, guess what? It didn't make landfall in South Carolina. It finally made landfall in North Carolina, just right there where we lived. Now, I mean, they had fled. I mean, people by the thousands were fleeing. And in some of the times when they flee, there was places in the more southern states than North Carolina where when they were fleeing from there, they had shut down the eastbound sides of the interstate so everyone could get on both sides of the interstate and head west. They were getting out of there. No, not quite this far west, but west. Sometimes it might have been wiser to go ahead and head this far. But the problem is you probably wouldn't have made it this far because, I mean, traffic was horrible. I mean, horrible. But you know, I am glad that there is one that you and I, If we are founded upon Him and have the Holy Spirit in our heart and lives, when the storms begin to head our direction, He knows exactly where they're going to make landfall. He knows exactly where they're headed. And I'm glad that He knows how to get us where we need to be so that we are in safety. But we not only see the tracking thereof, but we see the preparation for a hurricane. You know, one of the things about hurricanes, and that is before they make landfall, there's a calm. It's one of the things about them. I mean, they're heading your direction. You know they're coming your way, but if you're not careful, you can get just a little lax. I've been out the night before they're ready to make landfall the next day. I've been out with Ricky Rose floundering in the Sound. Why? Because the Sound was just as calm could be. There was no wind. There wasn't even hardly a breeze. Everything was as calm as can be. I just want to throw out, you know, so many times if we're not careful, it's easy to think because everything right now is calm, the storm's not coming. Oh, well, preacher, it's hit other people and other people have lost their lives, but not me. I mean, you know, well, look, preacher, it's calm all around us. That might be, but you know, if you will look and if you will keep your eye and you keep your ear tuned, you will realize that the storm is coming. Because as we were inside of the Outer Banks of North Carolina, you could see over top of the Outer Banks. You could see over top of Shackelford Banks. And you could see the ocean just a-rolling. You could hear it rolling all through the night. It already had rip currents in it. It already was getting very, very vicious. But inside the Sound, it looked like certainly they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. It's as calm as can be. And you know, I want to warn us tonight, especially if you're here tonight and you're not right with God, it's one of the tricks of the enemy to tell you. When the preacher pours out his heart trying to warn you, when your Sunday school teacher tries to warn you, when the church or your parents or whoever it may be try to warn you, you know what the devil likes to say? Oh, it's so calm. There's nothing going on. I mean, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. While the ocean's just a-rolling, and if we're not careful, we can just look at the calm and not realize the danger that's just on the other side of the Shackelford Banks. But we must build our house on the rock. One of the things that you would do is in preparation, you'd make sure that everything around the house was taken care of. You would check the house. You would begin to inspect the house. You know, some of the individuals, I don't know how in the world that they would want to stay in their home in a hurricane. There was a couple that had put in a place across the road from us. It was a double wide. And it was built for hurricanes. You can't put anything on that island that's not built. I think our house was built for a category 4 or 5, something like that. So it was built to withstand hurricanes. They put in their home in it. I can't remember what category it was supposed to do. But the point was, it wasn't necessarily my concern about how well the house was built, but it was the cheating they did when they put it in. For if you have a mobile home or a double wide, you have to strap that house down. And so they had their straps. And if the building was built for a certain category, you didn't have to go clear up over the roof. But you could go and they had straps that went up through the frame and across the frame and down the other side. And then on either side of that home, they had they looked like big old auger bits. They were 2 and 3 feet long. And they were probably about this big. And so what you did is you had to take, and they had a machine that would go on the top end of that, and it would turn that, and that auger would go down into the sand. And then you put those straps to it. But you know what they did when the inspector went around? They went and drilled the holes in the sand for those bits and then stuck the bit in it and stamped the sand down around it and then strapped it to it. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be in that home in a hurricane. You say, oh, preacher, oh, yeah. But you know, there's a lot of people that are doing the same thing with their spiritual condition. You know, they're just, well, you know, they think because the preacher didn't say it. They think because mom and dad didn't see the way they were doing it that everything's all right. But just remember, there's an inspector that's watching the way the house is being built. Might fool all of the inspectors in this world, but we'll never fool the great inspector. But they were doing that. But you would go outside of your home and you'd begin to look, and you'd look on the roof. And if it was a steel roof, you would make sure that everything was nice and tight. Why? Because you didn't want any of the steel loose. You couldn't afford to have a few nails missing. You couldn't afford to have a few of the shingles off. You couldn't afford to have anything loose. You didn't want any broke or not even cracked windows in that house. You wanted to make sure the front door and the back door and the other doors of the house, that the latches were good and that they would lock nice and sound and tight. And so you would go around and you would inspect that. And you know, that's one thing that God wants us to do with our salvation too. For our house is our salvation. In the midst of the hurricane, where did you go? You went inside your home. But you made sure that home, and you know, that's the reason God brings us to camp meeting. That's the reason revivals roll around, is to make sure that our work of salvation is what it needs to be. You say, oh, well, preacher, it's just a loose shingle. Oh, preacher, it's just a little cracked window. Certainly that won't hurt. Oh, yes, it will. So you made sure that, what? Your house was right. You not only went on the outside necessarily just to your house, but you would go inside of your house. And one of the things that you would get and check inside of your house is the old kerosene lantern. Now you say, oh, preacher, you know, there's a lot. I know there's battery-powered lights and there's different things of that nature. But you know, there was just something about the old kerosene lamp that it just lasted longer. You know, if the batteries went dead, unless you had a whole stack of batteries, you know, the old kerosene lamp. And so what did the people do? They would go and they'd get their kerosene lamps out. They'd been shoved kind of in a drawer or a cabinet, and so they would get them down. And the first thing they would do is they'd take the globe off, and they would clean that globe real nice and clean. Get all of the smudges off of it. Get all of the soot from the last storm and make sure that it was nice and clean. And then they would take and they would trim that wick. But they not only do that, but one of the most important things also they would do is they would make sure that there was kerosene in the lamp. And I want to tell you, folks, if we're going to withstand the storms in this life, we're going to have to make sure we have the oil of the Holy Spirit. Our brother preached so well this afternoon on the sanctifying power of the blessed Holy Spirit and how vital that is. How vital that is. You say, oh, preacher, I can get to heaven without holiness. Holiness and a pure heart. It's just as vital that a saved man gets sanctified as a sinner gets saved. Oh, preacher. Yes, folks, it is vital. I know we're living in a day, and it really bothers me. We're starting to live in a day where individuals, you know, if you get sanctified, it's all right. But if not, God understands. He most certainly does understand, but not the way we think. Lord, help us. You say, oh, yes, it was vital to have that oil. And we all know that oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And folks, it is vital that if we're going to make it through the storms of life, that we are sanctified holy. And that we have gotten rid of that old nature. And I'm not going through his whole message, but the Lord knew. He just wanted me to go along with what he was saying, because I believe what he preached this afternoon. Don't you? And he done an excellent job doing it. But folks, it is so, 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 so important that we are holy. Preacher, oh yeah, what was wrong with the five foolish virgins? They didn't have enough oil. And you know, I'm afraid that it's one of the things that's easy for us. It's just like I was thinking as I was out there with Brother Ricky Rose fishing and floundering before the hurricane hit. You know, if we're not careful, we can do the very same thing spiritually. We can be out doing so many things. Was it sin that we were out there? No, there's nothing wrong with floundering. There's nothing wrong with... But you know, if we're not careful, we can also get caught up in the legitimate things of life and not make sure that we are full of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us in this day. Yes, legitimate things. I'm not talking about sinful things, folks. I'm just talking about the legitimate things of life can get us so busy that the oil begins to deplete in our life. That's why it's so important that we make sure that we are filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit. There was all kinds of things that you would do in the area of making sure that everything was ready for the hurricane. Ready for that storm to hit. One of the other ones that we would do, you would go out and you would make sure that there was no debris laying around in the yard. Why? Because any small thing could be picked up and slammed through the windows. It could come through into different places. And so you made sure there was nothing loose, but everything was cleaned up. You know, that's what camp meeting is all about, folks, is making sure everything's cleaned up. You say, oh, well, yes, some things, it's just the legitimate things of life. But if we're not careful, it's those things that can destroy us. For it's the little foxes, again, that spoil the vine. And as I would do that, one of the things I would do is I would take my boat, my 19.5-foot cuddy cabin. I had different boats while I lived down there. But whatever boat I had, what I would do with that boat is I would take and I would hook it up to my truck. I would hitch the trailer up to my truck. And then I would take my truck and I would park it behind the church because that was the church would take the brunt of the storm. But I'd hook that up to the back of my truck. And then I would take and I'd make sure that the stern was strapped down nice and tight. And I would go to the front and make sure that the bow there on the winch, that it was all taken care of. And then I'd walk around and I'd lay the antennas down and on both sides of the boat and make sure that everything was tight on the boat. And then I'd go around and I would take and I would put the plug in the stern of that boat. You know, I never had, the whole time that I was there, I never had any of the islanders come around Brother Donnie and say, what are you doing, preacher? A storm's coming. Why are you hooking your boat up? Why in the world are you putting the plug in the boat? It's going to rain, preacher. Oh, yeah. I never had an islander come around and question me. But you know, I'm convinced if there'd have been some Yankees down there, and I'm a Yankee, so if there'd have been some Yankees down there, they'd have been like, what in the world are you doing, preacher? I thought you was getting ready for a storm. Oh, we are. But why in the world are you strapping the boat down? I mean, you drive it all the way to other places and so on and so forth. You take it up and down the road and never strap that down. Why? Because we're getting ready for a storm. The storm's getting ready to hit. Well, why in the world did you put the plug in the stern? Because you wanted it to fill up with water in the storm. Why? So that the wind couldn't move it. The more water it got in it, the heavier it was, and it wouldn't move. And as long as it's hooked to that truck, the chances are it's not going to flip that boat over. And you know, it's the same way. And I want to preface my next statement. I believe, and I'm in agreement, you've heard me preach. And I'm in agreement with what Brother Case has said. We need a balance in this day and age. I'm 100% in agreement with that. Lord, help us. I've preached on it here, of the carving of the decoys from when I lived down there. And once you get the headset on and then you set the eyes. And one of the things is if you've ever carved, one of the things that you want to make sure when you get those eyes set into the head of that duck is that the eyes are set properly. You look at it from the front. You look at it from the top of the duck head. And you look at it from the back of the duck's head. Why? Because you want the eyes set just right. Because ducks aren't pop-eyed. Their eyes aren't bugged out of their heads, but they're set just right. And you know, that's why we need to be careful in the spiritual realm too. Because there's a lot of individuals that their eyes are popped out. Everything's fine. You can do whatever you want. We're all going to heaven. No, not everyone's going to heaven. Not everyone's going to heaven. And I'm not here throwing stones, but we are living in a day where seemingly everyone goes to heaven. Whitney Houston's daughter, what's her name, Brown, that just passed away? She passes away, and they're talking about how that she's in the arms and living in peace in the arms of Jesus. Folks, I'm not here trying to throw stones, but let's get real. You can't live like that and go to heaven. Well, she didn't have light. Well, I'll guarantee you God would have given her enough light not to live that way. She may not have had the light that I had, but I'll guarantee you, you wouldn't overdose and die in a bathtub or whatever else if you was living right with Jesus. Those things don't happen. You say you're being judgmental. I'm only telling you what the book says. You know, so many times we live in a day and age, well, that's being judgmental. I'll never forget Reverend Earl Newton telling us at the God's Bible School one time. He said he was out in one of his pastors and he was knocking on doors. As he was knocking on the doors, this lady came to the door. He said, I'm so and so from such and such a church. The first thing she did, she lit into him, and she began to go down the list. She wasn't dressed properly in the whole nine yards, and she started going down through. Well, you holiness people down there, you don't believe in this, and you don't believe in that, and you don't believe in this, and you don't believe in that, and you don't believe in this, and you don't believe in this, and you don't believe in this, and you don't believe in this. And he just stood there until she was done. He said, "Madam," he said, "all I can tell you is I'm just like the state highway patrolman. I'm telling you what the book says. You'll meet the judge later." It's easy to say, oh, that's a preacher's idea, but I'm telling you, all we try to do is tell you what the book says. We'll all meet the judge later, and we can't argue with the judge. There's going to be some that's going to try and argue with the judge. The Bible says they'll argue with him. Have we not done this in your name? Have we not done that in your name? Haven't we done this? Haven't we done that? And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. I'm not trying to be unkind, folks, but the Bible stands and tells us how we need to dress and how we need to act. Amen. And standards is more than a dress. It's a standard of living. You know, so many times, yeah, we just think the standards are nothing about the other than the way we're dressed. Oh, no, standards go a whole lot further than that. It's a standard of living. And our living comes up with our standard of dress. And so I believe, and you know what? If we're not careful, we can have pop-eyed and just like, well, everything, everyone's going to heaven. You can just live however you want, sin and word, thought and deed every day. Well, that's all I did when I was a sinner. I wasn't any worse than that then. No, but the Lord would do something for us. I say, praise the Lord. But you know, if we're not careful, we can just get to the point that everything is all right. That it really doesn't matter anymore. But then, you know, also, when you carve at decoys and you're trying to make them look like a real duck, what do? You don't push the eyeballs in too far either. Because ducks, they're not only not pop-eyed, but they're not cross-eyed either. And what happens spiritually when we get cross-eyed, we double the regulations. Huh? Isn't that what happens when a person's cross-eyed? And I'm not making fun of anyone that's cross-eyed. Absolutely not. My daddy taught me as a kid, you don't make fun of other people. But we all realize, if you don't realize that, just try and look at your nose right now, and there'll be two of me up here. Huh? Yeah, why? It's just the way it is. And it's the same way spiritually, folks. If we're not careful, we can get ourselves cross-eyed, and then we have to, we double everything that's in the Word of God. Neither way is right. But we need to be careful. And the reason I'm prefacing that with my statement now is so you understand where I'm coming from. But you know, a Yankee might not understand why I put the plug in the boat. Why would you put a plug in a boat getting ready for a hurricane? Why are you doing that? I already told you why. But you know, I never had an Islander come around and ask me that, Brother Donnie. They never come around, what are you doing, preacher? They didn't say, why are you putting the plug in the bottom of that boat? They never asked me that. They never said, why are you hooking it up to the back of your truck? They never asked me that. You know why they never asked me that? It's because they had been through the storms. They knew what needed to be done. So they knew what I was doing. And so they never asked me. But you take, again, you take a Yankee that's never been through the storms, they'd have all kind of questions. Why? Because they'd never been through the storm. Now, I want you to take this statement. I want you to think about it before you criticize me. That's why we need to be very careful. There's a reason that some things were put in the church manuals and things, because some of those gentlemen had been through the storm. They had been through the storm. And if we're not careful, we can come along later on being Yankees and not understand why in the world and want to start jerking stuff out. Just be careful. I am grateful for some of the ones that looked over my shoulder at Harker's Island. You know what those islanders would do, Brother Donnie? For a hurricane, some of them, they tried to be diplomatic, but I'm not stupid either. I knew what they were doing. They were checking and making sure that this preacher that had not lived on that island was making sure that their church property and my stuff also was taken care of properly. They were just kind of looking over my shoulder. They weren't saying, "You dumb Yankee, don't you know you need to take care of this?" That's not what they said. But preacher, you know, you might want to hook your boat up to the back of the truck. Preacher, you might want to take care of this. Preacher, we probably ought to take care of this at the church, because when this storm hits, it'll take it away. And the problem is, it not only would take it away, but it might put it through somebody else's house. And so we just need to kind of button things down. And you know, I'm glad that there's been some old timers in my life that have kind of looked over my shoulder and said, "Son, I know, son, you weren't there 50 years ago. But I have a little concern because I watched how it started 50 years ago. And so I just want to warn you, be careful. Be careful. I know, son, it looks little. That's a little plug. It's just a little plug, son. But that plug is very important. You can hook it up to the back of the truck. You can hook it up to all and do all seemingly the major things. But one of the things that will probably be the most vital is sticking that plug in there so that boat gets so heavy it can't move." And you know, there's been times that maybe I didn't fully understand, but maybe even when they did explain it to me, I didn't fully understand. But you know, the older I get, the more I'm starting to understand some of that. When they told me, "Just be careful, son. We know that it seems awful small, but just be careful." Put that in the context of what I've already said. What I'm saying is, we just have to be careful. The easiest thing to do is throw it out. "Well, I don't see it." But just remember, sometimes those with experience. Oh, yeah, there was some. My daddy was older than most of them. But he wouldn't have a clue what to tell me to do for a hurricane. He had never been through one. But I'm glad for a daddy that at times he would look over my shoulder and say, "Son, be careful in the spiritual realm." Why? Because he had come through it and he's seen the danger signs. Lord, I don't know how you folks feel tonight, but my cry is, "Oh, Lord, help me." Help me in this day and age to be careful. To be careful. To be careful. I'd rather come up at the end of life that I was a little too modest than not modest enough. I would rather come up at the end of my life that I was paid a little too much tithe than not enough. I'd rather come up knowing that I went just a little too far than to come to find out. I'd rather not maybe do something that, "Well, preacher, there's nothing really wrong with that." But the Holy Spirit checked me and said, "Son, I would really rather you didn't." I'd rather mind that any day than to come to find out that I could have done it and had a little more pleasure in this life. Than to come up at the end and realize, because I partook of something, someone else went just a little bit further that was following me. I know this isn't popular, and I'm not just after preachers. I'm a preacher. I was raised in a preacher's home. But I want to live in such a way that if the laymen don't live quite as close as I do, there's still safety. Than to live right on the border and them not come quite as far as me and miss it. Say, "Preacher, oh yes." Why? Because I realized that when my kids were home, people were watching. the way they dressed and the way they acted, some of the church kids may have gone just a little bit further. If they'd have went a little bit further, would they have been all right? I trust so. I'd rather be that way any day. You say, well, that's too hard on your kids. You can feel however you want, but I was raised in a preacher's home. And I know at times we were the example, but that didn't bother me. Like, that's all right. I'd rather be just a little too. Say, preacher, these things aren't necessary. I want to tell you, and I say this very kindly, but just remember, all I can do is tell you what the book says, and it teaches us to be very careful. We'll all meet the judge later. And there won't be any time there to argue with him and straighten things up. It's not going to happen. Lord, help us in this day. And I hurry to a close. The storm finally makes landfall. We're living today, folks. I believe that the storm is on the horizon. I think if you don't have your head in the sand, you can hear the roar of the ocean. I think if you got your head out of the sand, you can see the rip currents. We got a lot of rip currents. We got a lot of rip currents in the church world of this day, and it's like, oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. But finally, that storm makes landfall. And when that storm makes landfall, it's too late to try and get everything straightened up. It's too late. I mean, when they make landfall, they make landfall. If you've ever been in a hurricane, I mean, they're usually 400 and 500 miles wide. Sustained wind sometimes between 110 to 150 mile an hour. Gust between 150 and 200 mile an hour. It's 400 miles wide, moving at 10 mile an hour. You do the math. It's not over in 30 minutes. It's not like the storm we had here the other night. Yes, I mean, the lightning was bright and the thunder was loud. But I want you, and you know, in the midst of a hurricane, they also constantly drop out tornadoes. They're dropping out of those hurricanes continuously as they're coming across. And when they hit, they come. And then after partway through, the eye of the storm moves across. When that eye of the storm moves across, it usually lasts between 30 minutes and an hour, just depending on how big the eye is and how big the storm is. When that hits, it's as calm as can be outside. You can go outside, check everything out. Make sure everything's right. And you know, it's a good thing to do that because the second side of the storm is worse than the first. It's the same amount of wind, but it's going the opposite direction because a hurricane is a circle. So when it comes across first time, the wind's blowing this way. When that eye comes across, now you're on the backside and the wind's blowing this direction. And now everything is wet. Everything's already been saturated with between maybe 5 to 6 inches of rain and winds and so on and so forth. So you go back out and you make sure everything is all tied down. And then you go back in and you hunker down and wait. You know, there's some people that are so crazy that in the midst of a hurricane, they go out and run around in them. I had church people. Category 1 and 2. They get in their vehicles and run down the island. Go down the end. They was telling about one guy. He was down at the end of the island. And here he is. They couldn't figure it out. They seen something down there at the end of the island. You know, you can't hardly see very well in that kind of a storm. They couldn't see very well. And here he was. They finally got down to him. He had goggles on. He was out there in his Bermuda shorts. And he's out there just having a heyday, just waving his arms and walking around. I'm like, that guy's crazy. How many of you would agree? Okay. I say this kindly, but you know, we have a storm that's hitting our nation, and it's amazing the people that are just out fooling around in it. It's one of the things that the young crowd would do in a hurricane. You know what the young crowd would do? Right before the hurricane would hit, they'd go out on the ocean side of the Outer Banks or there at Atlantic Beach or whatever, and they would go out. And I mean, the waves are huge, and there's rip currents and everything else. They're out there surfing. There's no lifeguards because all the lifeguards are pulled off. There's no one out except these kids out there. We stood there and watched them. I thought, man, these guys are crazy. There's no way you could get me to do that. You couldn't get me to do that even if I knew how to swim. But then you know what they do? When they're done, sir, then they go in and all this young crowd will get together. That's what they call them down there, the young crowd. The young crowd will get together and have a big old beer party. Can I tell you something? You say, preacher, that is so, so stupid. I say this very kindly tonight. I hope you don't think I'm being harsh and unkind. But you know, there's some people that are doing that in the spiritual realm. The best thing to do, if they had a big party, then you didn't know all the danger around you. And you know, we're living in a day and age where people are just bringing pleasure, pleasure, pleasure until they don't realize the danger that's around them. Just be careful. Be careful. And I close with this. There was one man that had used to live in that part of the North Carolina. He'd moved on further down south. I can't remember which state it was. One of the major hurricanes hit. He lived in a brick home. That hurricane hit that brick home so hard that he said he would never, ever stay through another hurricane. He said, I'm only telling you what he said. He said it hit so hard that he said it started knocking the windows out. Pew, pew. He said after it started knocking the windows out, it started peeling the drywall off the inside of the house. That hurricane was coming through. He was scared, slam death. I don't know where the weak point was in that house, but for illustration, it might have been just a cracked window. But that's all it took. Soon as it got one window knocked out, it started dealing with them like dominoes. Until all the windows were gone out of that house. And I believe the front entrance was gone. And he's sitting there scared to death. I believe inside of a closet as that storm's peeling the drywall for the inside of the house. You say, oh, preacher, can I tell you folks, there's some storms that are coming. There's some storms that are coming. It's easy tonight for you to look and say, oh, that old preacher, that bald head, he's got to be an old guy. He don't know what he's talking about. It's easy to say that because right now we still have a calm. There's still a calm. But when the storm hits, are we secure on that rock, Christ Jesus? Or do we have some cracked windows? And I don't have time to go on, but we could go into all kind of cracked windows, couldn't we? We could go into the loose shingles. It only takes one or two loose nails on that steel roof and finally to peel it. On and on. I trust tonight. That we will think about this. Lord, help us. And I can't help it, but this is one of the things that God just seemed to put in his thumb in my back on tonight, and that is, and it's just not tonight, but in the last few weeks, the Lord has been, you can ask my wife, I've mentioned it to her. Oh, honey, I'm scared. I'm scared there's too many that are saying, I don't think the plug's necessary. There's too many that are looking and saying, I really don't think that's necessary. And if we're not careful, it's such a small plug. It's such a small plug. They're not very big. But it's what is vital in keeping that boat from blowing away. Because I remember one time, we had a storm that hit, 92-mile-an-hour winds, just a storm in the middle of summer, no hurricane, nothing, just two fronts came together. I was driving in it, trying to get onto the island. I mean, there was a boat laying in the middle of the road because he didn't have it strapped on the back, just what we did down there. It literally blew it clear off the trailer. It's laying in the middle of the road. I'm trying to get onto the island, making my way on, but 92-mile-an-hour winds, it did. Different damage. It just came up. And I'm like, Lord, help me to be very careful. I don't know when the storms will hit me, but I believe that if I do what Jesus says, I make sure that my house is built on the rock, and I make sure that everything is intact. I make sure that everything's cleaned up in the yard. I make sure that, and though it may seem insignificant to me, but the Holy Spirit touches me and says, son, take care of this. Though it may seem small to you, And then you may look at me and say, that preacher's crazy. That's all right. Because I just want to make sure that I can weather the storm. It's so easy to look and say, why? But oh, and I'm not saying there's not times to, I'm not at all saying that, but I think you understand what I'm saying. We just need to be careful. I want us to stand and bow our heads and close our eyes. I know it's not the type of a message that I'll make a long pull. I know that. But I just feel that I should be faithful in case there's someone that says, preacher, there's just been some things. As you was preaching tonight, the Holy Spirit just kind of sealed it to me, preacher. Just been a little lax here. There's a couple nails missing on the roof. One of the windows is cracked, preacher. The latch on the front door just, I don't think it'd withstand a storm. I've lost a plug to the boat, preacher. Maybe you need to pray tonight. When has come, is there any more? I just want us to think for a few moments, folks. It's so vital. The storms are coming. Are you ready for the storm? Are you ready tonight? What as good as we can be. We can be, but we must make sure that we're ready for the storm. Jesus is the one that said the storms will come, the rains will fall, the wind will blow, the floods will come. He's the one that said it's going to happen. All I've tried to do tonight is to get us to think, to make sure. If you're ready for the storm, thank God for it. But it's hard for me to believe that in a crowd this size, that everyone's ready for the storm. Everyone is ready for the storm. Anyone else? Thank you for your kind attention. Shall we gather in those that can? Pray with these that have come. And if you must go, let's be very reverent. Let's not be talking in here. There's plenty of room outside. Let's pray with these that have come. Shall we gather in, please? Let's gather.